A new study describes the future mass redistribution of plants and animals on Earth due to climate change. An author of the study says Florida is already experiencing this migration due to global warming. Brett Sheffers is a professor of wildlife ecology at the University of Florida. He spoke with WUSF's Jessica Mazaros.
What is climate change doing in terms of migrating animals?
Well, so every species occurs in a place because it has a climate that it prefers, it has resources that it prefers. And with climate change, plants are responding to the increasing temperatures or changes in rainfall. And if plants move and habitats move, then animals move as well. So basically what we're going to see is, you, me, our neighbors are going to basically in the future, we're going to experience a lot of events like extreme weather events here in Florida. It'd be hurricanes or droughts. And at the same time, we're also going to see kind of the arrival of and the departure of species in response to changing climates.
And what caused you to highlight this? Why should people care?
The way we think about species is really like our fondness for species occurs along a gradient from good to bad, right? I mean, so there are good species. These could be species that we think are beautiful. It could be species that have recreational value. And let's say fish species or animals that we hunt or bird watching, et cetera. So there's lots of recreational activities and reasons we value species. But there's also the bad species, right? So these could be pests, agricultural pests or even diseases. And so as these different plants and animals respond to climate change, they're going to have costs. They're going to have benefits and costs to society. And that's something that we should take quite seriously. It basically means that we have a high level of uncertainty in our futures.
What do we think about Florida in terms of climate change and the animals here?
Florida it's a unique place geographically. It's a very diverse state in the U.S. It spans from the tropics to subtropical to kind of temperate, and it has a large marine area, so it has a large seascape and a large landscape. Relative to the other states in the U.S., we're kind of, we're ground zero for climate change impacts. We have one of the largest shorelines of any state, so sea level rise is going to cause issues for coastal communities. But it also, because it kind of has that tropical to temperate gradient, we're going to probably see a lot of tropical species moving into our temperate waters. So, for example, in marine systems, you have the common snook, which is a fish that's usually found in tropical waters. It's now moving up into the northern Gulf area. Some people might say that's good. Some people might say it's bad. It's good maybe because it's a recreational species. It's bad because it's a predatory fish that might eat a lot of other species that have been here in the past. It might create some management issues there. We also will see, and we have been seeing, the encroachment of mangroves from the south into salt marshes in more temperate regions. And so that could create some conflict as well as mangroves take over kind of these habitats that we identify with from our childhoods and now. So there's going to be a lot of changing, and it's going to require, some people will see it good and some people will see it bad.
Species movement is nothing new in terms of land development. We've seen that in Florida and other places. How is this different? How is climate change, redistribution of animals, different than land development?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because species movement is not a new idea. Species have been moving due to a variety of reasons. Habitat conversion and land development causes animals to move. For example, the coyote isn't really a native species of the East. The coyote is a Western species, but because we cleared a lot of the land in the Midwest, it created a pathway for the coyote to colonize the East. And some people might say the coyote is a good addition to the Eastern landscape, but some see coyotes as pests. And that was actually one of the main points that we raised in this study, was that how are we gonna deal with this mass redistribution of species? Well, could we take lessons from history? Could we borrow from the past? And so what we did is we looked at these past examples of species moving, and we said, well, can we use this information and how society responded to the new arrivals of species to kind of inform the future? And what we found was is that it's wildly inconsistent. So some species that moved in the past were persecuted, like the coyote. There's a variety of examples where species were kind of deemed invaders to this new area, even though they occur within the contiguous United States. So they were persecuted. They were actually managed. They were called in some, you know, in some, they were trapped and moved, or even, you know, shot and killed. There are other species that were protected. So species will move into new areas and society will say, oh, this is a valuable species, so we're going to protect it. And then there are some where we just don't care and they were ignored. The past basically means that there's a high level of uncertainty for how we're going to deal with future climate change and the arrival of all these new species. And it's important to note that climate change isn't just – we're not just talking about one or two species. We're talking about a complete reorganization of the landscape, you know, the arrival of hundreds, if not thousands, of new species. And we might see the departure of hundreds, if not thousands, of species.
And what does the migration of animals tell us about how humans might react to climate change? I mean, we've already talked a little bit about how they'll react to animals, you know, based on their perception. Some animals are protected and some are shunned. Do we know how we're going to move around based on climate change and based on this study?
So how humans will respond to climate change in terms of movement, let's say, the movement of human beings, it's kind of a new topic in the science, and people are kind of exploring it. It's very difficult to kind of model human movements because in nature, species don't have the luxury of, let's say, electricity in big government organizations that could provide them with food during, let's say, droughts and crop failure. So we have a lot of infrastructure to deal with short-term climate changes, right? So we could spend money to mitigate the effects of climate change. And so that makes predicting where humans are going to occur very difficult, because it all depends on the level of government supports, et cetera. But what we do know is that nature, plants and animals, don't have that luxury of just spending money, turning on the air conditioning to cool it down, cool themselves down on a hot day. And they will respond. And they're going to respond relatively predictably, right? So we know that species are going to head, let's say, towards the poles or towards cooler regions. So that could be up mountainsides because they're tracking, you know, the cool gradient of temperatures created by mountains, or let's say from Florida into Georgia and northward.
Are there any other climate issues that are on your radar right now? So the study has been completed. Are you just going to be following up on this? Do you have other things that you're fascinated by that you're tracking?
Climate change is not a single country problem, right? It requires a multi-country solution. And so what we're doing is we're identifying kind of the many complications that policymakers are going to have to deal with in the future. And so as scientists, we need to better understand this issue, which means that, you know, there needs to be more research on really accurately predicting where species are going to move, but then also kind of joining forces with policymakers, economists, you know, a whole diversity of people with different skill sets to kind of understand the costs and benefits of this mass, you know, redistribution of wildlife.
Brett Sheffers, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it, and thank you for your work.
Thank you for having me.